You're listening to Comedy Central.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Please welcome DeRay McKesson.
Good to be
back. Welcome
back
to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
This is crazy because you're one of the few people who has been on the show twice.
You look older.
Thank you. I'll take distinguished, I think I would prefer.
Yeah.
You're also one of the few people who's worn the exact same outfits.
Oh.
No, not in a bad way. Not in a bad way.
Like, I gave you one last time as a gift. You still have it?
I do, but I don't wear it all the time. You know what's great? Like, honestly, I didn't know many of the stories behind the why. Many people know you, DeRay. They go, oh, blue vest, DeRay, we know the vest. I've seen this vest. I saw it when it looked new. I see it when it looks like now.
I just washed it.
But the story in the book about the why really touched me. Why do you wear that vest, and why do you keep that exact same vest?
Yeah, people forget that we were in the street in Ferguson for 400 days, you know? So if you ever saw us marching, it wasn't that we thought marching was cool. It was illegal to stand still in August, September, and October 2014. If we stood still for more than 5 seconds, we were arrested. And I think about the vest, we were there for so long that it got cold, and I needed something that would keep me warm, and this kept me warm. If it got too cold, I put a hoodie on under it, and that was good. And I keep wearing it because it reminds me that stuff was real. You know, like, I had this vest on when I was tear gassed, when I was shot at with rubber bullets, like, when I hit under my steering wheel, all those things. And this keeps me, like, grounded in the fact that stuff happened to me.
Right. When you look at that journey, and we look at the book, On the Other Side of Freedom, The Case for Hope.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're hopeful about America's trajectory?
Yeah. I think about hope as a belief that our tomorrows can be better than our todays. And I think about hope as, like, real work, not hope as magic.
Right.
And I am hopeful. My faith wavers a little bit. Faith is about certainty. And, like, sometimes I'm not certain we're going to win. But do I think that we can win? I'm hopeful in that way.
Oh, that's really interesting. So you're someone who's been on, the front lines of many discussions. You know, it was Black Lives Matter. You were one of the faces that people turned to try and explain the idea. I mean, people were like, is this anti-cop? Is this anti-white people? Is this anti-everything that is not black? And you had to speak on that. And, you know, you've spoken out on many issues. You've seen yourself as somebody who wants to speak about what's happening in the world. The book is about a combination of two things. It's you and your personal life.
Yep.
And then the world that we now live in today. How do you think who you are as DeRay McKesson affected how you see the world today?
Yeah, you know, it was important for me to talk about some of the personal stuff. I've never written about being a gay black man in the movement or in the world. I write about that. My mother left when I was 3, came back when I was 30.
Right.
I write about these things because they shape the way that I think about memory, the way that I think about identity. But then I write about some of the stuff that you'd expect, right? Like the police, the protests. I'll ask you, name something you can buy for $300.
Name something you can buy for $300. 7 copies of Madden?
Today, in Florida, theft over $300 is a felony, and if you become a felon, you permanently lose the right to vote, which is wild, right? But when people think about felons, they think that everybody, like, robbed a bank, killed 10 people.
Right.
But it's like, imagine, like, losing the right to vote as an 18-year-old because you, like, stole seven copies?
Yeah.
Seven copies of Madden.
Right. And you know what's
That's
funny?
That's wild.
You talk about all of these things. Like, there's a section in the book here where you really go into the statistics. And what's interesting is when you're talking about police violence specifically, you speak about police violence across the board. So it's not like a black issue. Just go Americans. This is how many American people have been killed by the police. And you have a year where 1,000 people were shot by the police, which is a high number for any country in the world. And then you see a disproportionate number of that amount of people being black as well. What was even scarier was that these statistics weren't being counted in any way, shape, or form.
If you get killed in this country and a newspaper doesn't write about you, you literally don't exist in the database because the government doesn't keep the data. So we know the rainfall in Missouri in 1830 and literally don't know anything about police violence in the past year. That's sort of while a third of all the people killed by a stranger in this country is actually killed by an officer. Like one in 11 homicides in California is actually committed by an officer. So this is like it's a big deal. And part of the data work we did was like myth busting. You know, black people are actually more likely to be unarmed and not threatening somebody than any other person who encounters a police in a violent situation. That's like, people don't know that stuff. So we wanted to like lay it bare so people could not perpetuate these myths about the movement.
Now, when you look at the myths around the movement, I mean, you cannot escape the conversation and the narrative that's happening now. Colin Kaepernick, the NFL, the Nike commercial that comes out, Colin came out and said, hey, I'm protesting injustice, you know, at the hands of police in this country. People then said, no, what you're protesting is America and the troops and the anthem. Do you think that there is another way that he could have protested? Do you think that there is any way for black people to protest in America that's acceptable?
You know, it doesn't seem like it. It's like we just stand outside and people are like, you're threatening. It's like white people in Charlottesville were like pushing the police. They were like pushing them. Like if I'd done that, I'd be like an in memoriam sort of moment on the Daily Show right now. Like pushing the
it's
police.
It's just a tombstone with your vest.
Yeah, that is like shady. If I like push the police,
right,
people, it would be a wrap, you know, but like they get to do all that stuff. I think that what's interesting about Colin is that he's just talking about simple truths. Colin is literally like, racism is real and present. And people are like, oh my goodness. And you're like, that's sort of what he said.
Right.
He's saying that we shouldn't play like musical chairs with the status quo. We should actually like change things at the root. That's like what Colin's saying. That's not dramatic. That's sort of basic. You know what I mean?
So have you found a way to protest in a way? Like have you ever protested and found somebody on the other side saying, oh, now that I've seen you protest, I understand what you're saying? Or do you find that the protest just incites more? Like what is the purpose of your protest then?
I will say now I'm like pretty chill about the way I talk about it. So I was at something not too long ago and this guy, he's like, I read chapter 3. He got an advanced copy. He goes, Dre, are you saying the police should never kill somebody? And I say, do you have any kids? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, when should the police kill your child? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, I don't know either then, right? Like, part of it is like, how do we put the work back on other people to have to grapple with this stuff?
Right.
Like, I'm not here to give speeches all day. Like, I'm here to help us think about these issues. And, you know, I talk about in the book, some of the laws, like in California, there's a law that says that any investigation of an officer that lasts more than a year can never result in discipline, regardless of the outcome. You can love the police and think that doesn't make sense. In Cleveland, they destroy police officer disciplinary records every 2 years. You can love the police and think that doesn't make sense.
Right,
you know?
Right. It's an insane story, and honestly, what I loved about the book was the combination of the data, the anecdotal stories, and this journey that you are on. Where to from here? I've always wondered, do you see yourself running for office? Do you see yourself as always just being in the activist space? Like, what is DeRay's dream?
Hopefully, I look back on this, I'm like, we won, right? I'm like, we changed all these laws and policies. That's what I want. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out B-Day, because it is Beyonce's birthday as well today.
That it is.
Rumor has it that Beyonce kissed you on the stage at the ESPN.
No, I handed her a thing when they were honoring Colin Kaepernick, and she was just nice, like, hello. And then people were like, you kissed Beyonce! I was like, I did not kiss Beyonce. I would have remembered that, and I would not have washed my cheek like you don't wash the vest. That's what I... I'm messing with you, man. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah.
I appreciate it so much. On the Other Side of Freedom, a really fantastic book is available now. DeRay McKesson, everybody.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org.
That's trinityschool.org.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.